The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
Hey guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now and let's get into the podcast.
Tonight, Michael Chequers blow up after the All Blacks world record win as the commentators lose their minds. Richard Friedman on Winx's win for the ages. Gerds is here and the most expensive tickets going in sport. And you don't even get a seat.
Welcome to the Rush
Yes,
Hour.
Yes, we'll reveal more later. Hello, Gerds.
Hey, Dan.
Just lost my voice for a second here. Apologies. It's day one of the...
Big weekend.
It's day one of the...
the cleanse.
The cleanse.
Yeah,
I'm doing the Ryan Girdler colon cleanse.
Yeah, it's nice to be named after the colon, but...
I think you should be happy that you're here for day one of this because I don't want to be near me days three and day four.
You'll be fine, Dan. It's a mental thing and, you know, you've got it covered.
Basically, I've spent the day eating dirt.
Yes, that's what it's the first...
And not eating anything else.
Yeah, a lot of water, a little bit of dirt, gets the clay down into the colon, down into the nooks and crannies, and before you know it'll be, you know, pulling rope.
Anyway, did you have a good weekend?
Fantastic. What about you? Well, actually, it wasn't so good, Dan.
Was it?
Oh, well, I'm starting to miss the footy a little bit, to be honest. Like, you know, when we're doing it's like, I can't wait to have a weekend off, and then, like, I did get to take my oldest girl Olive, out to some dance recital in Ryde, which was, you know.
Sounded excited by it.
Yeah, you know, it was, you did a long drive for 2 minutes, but it was fun. It's actually good to get some time back with the girls, but yeah, I'm missing the footy a little bit.
After 2 weeks, because I'm like, you know, at the end of the grand final, I'm like, okay, I've had enough. I'm so looking forward to a holiday. It takes about 2 weeks. Just like, all right. And then I'm ready to get back into it now.
And then look at us on a Monday, there should be a plethora of sport to talk about over the weekend. And I mean, besides Winx, what have we got?
Well, we got the Wallabies because there was a controversial moment. One of the commentators just went absolutely berserk. We'll get to that. And Michael Chequer. Interesting question. We love Chek.
Yeah.
We're a fan of his here. A bit of deflecting going on.
They're frustrated, aren't they? And you can tell with, you know, the commentators as well, we are desperate. I think mentally more so than physically, I feel like we're being dominated by the All Blacks. I think we've got a side that can compete. We showed that. But then are we beaten before the contest even begins, Dan?
Well, we'll get to that right after this. It is the Rush Hour. Again, we do it for Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps and expert tips from Best Bets. Gamble responsibly. This is the Rush Hour. On a Monday night, Triple M.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
Triple M. Excuse me. What's happened in the last 5 minutes? My voice is gone. It's Dan with Gerds on a Monday night. So did you get to see much of the Wallabies? I know you watched the Cox Plate. We'll get to Richard Friedman a bit later. Did you see much of the Wallabies?
No, I saw a little bit, Dan. Certainly saw the highlights and the moment that we're going to discuss. Yeah. Gee, I don't know. It seemed like, to me, it was a pretty poor decision on the day, and it obviously was going to give them, you know, the lead at that point.
So 15-10, what seemed to be a fair try. You can't, so I don't think if in New Zealand you can say, well, 37-10 was the final score. Well, you can't whinge about one decision. But at the same time, if you concede six tries to one, it's very hard to have the moral high ground and say we were dudded. But there's no doubt that this non-try to Spate was clearly...
It was a turning point because they fought their way back into the contest, Dan, didn't they? After, you know, a good start to the All Blacks, the Wallabies were then able to get themselves back into the game, and as they had the momentum, they scored this try, which actually got them into the lead, and then it was taken away. So massive turning point.
And had been, frankly, the better team for that period of play. This is now I watched the Channel 10 coverage with Matty Berg and Gordon Bray, and they weren't like this. This is Rod Kafer on Fox.
Now, this is ridiculous. The crowd's been at the referee, and Nigel Owens has now asked for a TMO ruling on a player who's going to be behind the ball and is never, ever in a position to affect the ball. He's been done by the crowd here, Nigel Owens. There's no such thing as an obstruction.
Wow.
Just enough obstruction to take in, okay?
Nigel Owens should never referee a test match again. That is disgraceful. He's behind the ball. He's a support liner. He can run where he likes.
He can't say any more. I mean, that. I think that's Australia at the moment when they play the All Blacks. I mean, we're just holding on to any hope possible, and it was taken away there, and the boys reacted.
Is that over the top?
Oh, I guess, you know, you sometimes as a commentator, Dan, if especially with, you know, when it's, I find it hard with New South Wales playing State of Origin or, you know, when Penrith playing big games, sometimes you get a little bit carried away. You got to try and control that aspect, I guess. You got to be professional, but he didn't. He just let it go.
Well, that was Rod Kafer from Fox. Michael Checker, after the game, was not happy either.
Do you have a comment on what the All Blacks have been able to achieve with their 18 wins in a row?
Oh, man, I don't think they really want my comment anyway, you know? Well, no, they don't, you know? They dressed us up as clowns today, so they wouldn't really want our comment. I don't think they respect our comment anyway, so we won't make one.
When you say they dressed you up as clowns, what...
I was on the front page of the paper, bro. So they dressed us up as clowns, and that's
what... didn't do that.
Well, that's where... I think that's the same guy who reported the supposed bug, isn't it, as well? Where'd that come from? I would say that got me a little bit offside was the accusation that we tried to bug them. Like, really? Hello? Honestly? That they had that the whole week and then they tried to... That's what would cause that bad for me, that show of lack of respect, that stuff, because, like, mate, I wouldn't even be smart enough to get that stuff organised. I'm too busy working on my own team. Yet they hold on to it, drop it in the day of the game. But they don't need to do that stuff. They're too good anyway. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's, like, friendly.
So he's referring to Michael Checker, the middle of the season when it was the day, I think, of the Sydney Bledisloe.
Yeah.
There were claims that one of the chairs, a device had been dropped into the chair where the New Zealand team was staying.
Yeah, the meeting
room. So he obviously hasn't forgotten that. No. Do you sense, though, I get the sense he's frustrated, that's genuine, but there's a little bit of deflection going on as well. Been a bad year for the Wallabies.
It has been, hasn't it? And you know, you don't really want to come out after. I guess it gets a little bit personal at some point, Dan. And I think that's, you know, we've seen a lot of banter between the two coaches, haven't we? Over the, especially this season and this Bledisloe. But they're very frustrated. The Aussies. What do they do? I mean, are the Kiwis? Is this All Black side that good, or is it just to the point now where we're just having, you know, a lot of trouble mentally overcoming what's become, you know, the Australian rugby's nemesis?
They've now lost 3 of their last 71 tests. A couple of draws in there. Australia had one of them.
Mm. Behind them, though, Dan? What is it about? Look, I don't know. What is it about the All Blacks franchise that just makes them almost unbeatable? I mean, well, surely, is it their systems that they have in place, or is it just, you know, how they perform when they put on that black jumper?
I find it absurd that a country of 4 million people can be this dominant. They've been the best team in the world for 30 years.
But they don't have AFL.
Minus a couple of little glitches. Australia at the turn of the century. England for about, you know, 6 months were the best team in the world. But it's extraordinary.
Yep. No, you're right. It's they don't have the AFL, and obviously rugby league's probably doesn't pull as many players over
every
there.
Every kid
and they don't
wants
have,
to be an All Black.
They don't have the A-League. You know, they have one team that, you know, plays in that competition. So I guess, that's what it is. And you would think the system's coming through school, all the focus. And I think we've seen a little bit out with the rugby league of late with, you know, a lot of the Kiwi players now coming through the Australian rugby league systems, which are the best systems in rugby league in the world. And that's why they've got a champion team at the moment. I think they're number one still in the World Rugby League rankings. So they're certainly talented athletes when they're put through the right
systems. Maybe the Wallabies are the Hartnell of, you know, absolutely flogged by the best. Mm. But Hartnell is now the favourite and has come in for the Melbourne Cup. And now people are saying the Wallabies can win the Grand Slam, go over to the UK and win all the tests.
Yeah.
So there we go. Maybe it's not as bad as we think.
Yeah, we're the best of the rest, Dan.
You can call us anytime, 133353. If you've got a question for Gerds, now's the time, 133353. This is the Rush Hour on Triple M.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and OVO will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
You throw out the number, Gerds. You don't think anyone's going to call, but we've got a full board here. So let's go. James from Cameray in Sydney is on the line. Hello, James.
Good evening, Dan and Gerds. Long-time listener. Love your work. I just want to bring a bit of balance into the conversation about the Wallabies v All Blacks.
Yeah.
A year ago, the Daily Telegraph had a front-page story depicting Richie McCaw as a witchetty grub with the All Blacks jersey on,
yep,
and calling him a cheat. So, you know, it's short memories for Mr. Checker. He's in the spotlight. He hasn't had a good season. And yes, he is, you guys are correct. He is deflecting because he's got nothing that he can do about it.
I don't, James, thank you for your call. I don't know if being dressed up as a clown is that offensive, good. It's not nice, but it's not the most offensive thing that you could be depicted as.
I don't get the correlation, Dan, to, is it, did they dress him up as a clown because of the bugging episode?
No, or I think it's just all year he's been a bit mouthy.
Okay, and the red nose and the clown. And I think the fact that also they've got him in the Australian frilly jumper and he's taken offence to that as well. But, yeah, I'm with James. I think there's a little bit of frustration and a little bit of reflection there as well.
All
deflection.
Right. Let's go to Jack. What's your point, Jack?
Look, one word about the Wallaby selectors, it's all politics.
Yeah.
100%.
You don't think they're picking the right time, the right term?
No, they're not even looking in the right places. New Zealand, they look everywhere. Australia, they've got no idea. They look in the major cities and the major teams and nowhere else.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so the wrong side's been selected by the Aussie selectors, Dan.
Well, yeah, and obviously Jack's talking about sort of a deeper issue that in terms of looking for talent to bring up through the system.
They're talking about Cora Beatty getting a start in this spring tour, Dan. That'd
that's
be interesting,
wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it be? I mean, he's a
he can't kick.
A brilliant athlete.
Well, can he kick? I don't think he can.
I've never seen him kick.
All right, let's go to Reece. Ah, you've got a rugby league question for Gerds.
Yeah, mate, go see that you listen to miss the rugby league season so much. I just want to see if you can shed some light on Wayne Bennett's theory about signing Benji Marshall with Hunt and Milford and Karima in the ranks. I can't see what's going on there. Can you shed some light for me?
Yeah, look, I think Benji can bring a fair bit of experience to what's, you know, a developing halves combination down there. I think Milford might be taken into consideration for the Origin series this year, and I think Benji could come in and certainly fill a hole there. I also think maybe he might find himself at number nine a little bit. You know, you could sort of have Benji on the bench,
mm-hmm,
and McCulloch there, who usually plays sort of 80 minutes, they might be able to give him a little bit of a break if they need someone to come on from dummy half and, I don't know, open the game up a little bit. So, you know, I think there's value in it. He's paid $100,000. Also, he's a high-profile player, so he's going to also attract some marketability up there for the Broncos. And I just think, you know, Benji's at a great time of his career to offer other things off the field as well as on the field, and with some leadership up there as well, I think it might be value for money.
Bennett spoke about the idea that he might be used as a centre or a fullback. That he,
yeah, of course, yeah.
Would he have the speed these days to play and the strength to play in the centres?
I don't know. I think he'd be more likely to handle centre than he would fullback. I mean, that's one of the most demanding positions on the field these days and the most important position. So I think he might be able to slide into the three or four. I'm not sure if I'd use him as a one.
The Broncos, by the way, I never announced, I think Tau Tau Monga has signed with them. So
okay,
they get a good, if he stays fit,
yeah,
they get a good one there.
Yep.
The Broncos do everything. They're just about the trendsetters in every department in rugby league. But can I draw your attention to their new jersey designs for 2017?
Give
what
me a
is
look.
It about the Broncos?
Mm.
They do everything so beautifully. They are the best in the game, but their jerseys are always so putrid. Look at that aqua thing they've got there.
Yeah, this one down the bottom. I think they used something like that this year, Danny. I'm not sure whether that's like just one of their...
The diamonds?
Yeah, look, they're certainly different. I'm not a big fan. I like their traditional jersey, you know, the Broncos. I really like the gold and maroon. No,
yeah.
I like their original one or their home one there.
Yeah,
Dan,
the normal ones look great,
yeah,
but it's those...
Yeah, they, you know.
Bright aqua. Would you be scared of a footballer running at you in bright aqua?
Well, it depends who it was.
Petro Sivanasiva. This is the Rush Hour here on Triple M Sports Update. Coming up right after this. Plenty to get through. The most expensive tickets in world sport. And also some cricket news as well. And the Premier League. My goodness, it's tight.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form. With animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips, courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
Hey, yes, Triple M. Getting you through on Monday here on the Rush Hour. Let's do this.
Tyres and More, your local tyre store.
Right now.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Live.
Sports update.
Why is it every spring carnival or autumn carnival, it's, and I'm not complaining about this, Gerds, but it has to be that there is a model with a horse.
Yeah, I don't know, Dan.
Every time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Again, not complaining. It's just one of those things that now, if it doesn't happen, it's
hand in hand, part of racing.
England's cricketers have avoided major embarrassment, but only just sneaking home to beat Bangladesh in their test match in Chittagong. Needing 286 to win, the Bangladesh team were 8 for 263. They were only 23 shy.
That's where you're going to be in 2 days, Dan.
But what's that?
Chittagong.
But two Ben Stokes wickets in three balls saved England. Meantime, Sean Marsh is in WA squad for this weekend's Sheffield Shield, increasing his chances of being there for next week's first test. What a homecoming for Jose Mourinho. His Manchester United embarrassed at Chelsea 4-0. Yes. Did I get this right? They conceded after 30 seconds.
Oh, it was awful. Yeah, it was actually, I mean, you know, he's such a character and he's got a lot of charisma. But I'll tell you what, the last couple of years, his reputation is taking an absolute pounding.
Yeah, I bet he didn't get a standing ovation from the Chelsea faithful.
No.
Not a good weekend for some of the other big guns. Arsenal, Tottenham and Man City all coughed up a couple of points with draws. What about this? Just 1 point separates the top five.
Yeah.
And hello, Liverpool are there. They're equal top.
Well, they were the only one of the top six clubs to have a win. So they snuck up a couple of points on all of them. But, you know, what are we, about five or six games in?
That's beautiful. That's a lovely setup for the rest of the season.
Absolutely. I'm so glad I didn't pay for Optus. I can't watch any of it.
And we all know how ridiculous Super Bowl tickets can go for. That's sort of the gold standard of expensive tickets. Well, yep. The Chicago Cubs' first appearance in baseball's World Series in 71 years is taking it to new levels. Now, for the first of three games in Chicago, so not even, it's not a Super Bowl where it's a grand final per se. So there's three games there. The first game, which is game three of the series, first two games are in Cleveland, okay. Game three is in Chicago, has its cheapest ticket going right now for $2,300 US, standing room only.
And how long does a game usually go for?
4 hours.
That's a lot of standing, isn't it? How many people do they fit into the stadium there,
Dan? It's not many. This is the question. I think high 30s maybe at Wrigley Field, very old stadium. If you want the luxury of a seat, $2,700 US.
Okay.
There's the cheaper option. I showed you this last week. The rooftops of surrounding apartment buildings, $1,250 US minimum. And you're not even in the stadium.
That's good, isn't it?
And obstructed view.
Hey, you know about that 71 years, Dan? Back in, I think it was 45 the last time they're in the World Series. They call it the curse of the Billy Goat. Have you heard that?
I have heard of it,
yes. Yeah, where they reckon that during the fourth innings or something of that World Series, they had a mascot that was a Billy Goat through one of the sponsors, and they said it stunk. And they got rid of it. They sent it out of the stadium, and they have not won a World Series ever since. And they're saying, is this the end of the curse of the Billy Goat?
Did you ever see the documentary, the 30 for 30, on Steve Bartman? He was the fan. The last time they were this close, he reached up and took a foul ball off a Chicago fielder.
Yes.
He has been a pariah ever since. In fact, there's a theory that he had to either change his name and or leave town, because everyone in Chicago wanted to kill him.
Big deal for the Indians, though, too, Dan. 70 or 68 years or something. So, I mean, is this, obviously, you talk about the Premier League, and this just must be mouth-watering for the baseball.
There you go. And those tickets, by the way, if you think, oh, well, it's the first game in Chicago, no wonder it's dear, gets even more expensive for games four and five of the series.
Yeah.
So there you go. That is a sports update. Oh, we have a new sponsor for this. Jets 24-hour fitness. These are all the raves, these 24-hour fitness places.
You know
places.
Why, Dan? Because they're open all day.
Jets 24-hour fitness. Bring us the sports update. We'll have Sasha in and a censored moment in sport coming up shortly.
Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps and expert tips from Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
Traffic. Pay off your home loan sooner with Mortgage House. Call 133-144 and save.
Triple M. Sydney Traffic and Radar Watch.
Well, that truck smash in Beecroft is still causing problems at the on-ramp to Pennant Hills Road off the M2. Best use Castle Hill Road or Windsor Road instead. Expect extra traffic for Pennant Hills Road southbound. A beat-up breakdown there at Castle Hill Road. A breakdown on the Triple M5 is slowing down your approach to the Cooks River Tunnel. And still a struggle into Heathcote on the Princess Highway southbound. Following an earlier smash, we had queues are still going back to Loftus. And from December 13 on, Hawaiian Airlines non-stop flights from Sydney to Honolulu. You can lie flat, drift to sleep and wake up in Hawaii. Book now at hawaiianairlines.com.au. I'm Adam Pentelow, spot radar or traffic hassle. Call Triple M Traffic 133353.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form. With animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips, courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
Triple M, this is the Rush Hour. Did you watch the race?
Absolutely.
The week's race?
Absolutely. Astounded. I couldn't believe it. We spoke to Richard in the morning, and he told me something. He said, look, the thing is about this mare is the fact that she knows when she just needs to run a race and how to win, and then she knows when the big day comes. And that's what I want to find out. How do they know, Dan? How do they know to put it on?
Richard thinks they can see the winning post, and they know where the finish line is. Hello, Rich.
Hello, mate. I can assure you that some of them know where the winning post is. Some of them are so dumb they don't know where they are, but some of them are smart.
But, Rich, how do they know? Like, I mean, how can they identify a big race? Is it in the build-up? Is it in the crowd? What is it? What makes a horse like this perform in the Cox Plate and not just another, not average group, one that, you know, we see her in?
Well, I think horses can tell when it is a big occasion. They know when the crowd's bigger. They know when the occasion's bigger. They can feel it through their handler, through their strapper, their groom. You know, if they're nervous, then they know something big's about to happen. So they've got a whole sort of range of senses that they can pick up that something's different and something's bigger, and it probably just switches her on.
This is it for Wiggs now. That was going to run in a couple of weeks, Gerds, the McKinnon Stakes, which is now on after the Melbourne Cup, and it's been pulled out. Rich, can I ask a really naive question? Why isn't Wiggs running in the Melbourne Cup? Now, I know there's a million reasons for it not to run, but there's $3 million for the winner here. So why would the owners think, and the trainer think, okay, let's not risk it?
Well, I'm not sure if she's even nominated for a start, but I think she can get into the race by paying a late entry. But the difference between Winx winning the Cox Plate and going on to the Melbourne Cup and Mackay Diva doing it, which she did in 2005, she won the Cox Plate, went on and won the Melbourne Cup, is that Mackay Diva was trained for a Melbourne Cup and just happened to win a Cox Plate along the way. Winx has been trained to win a Cox Plate and not a Melbourne Cup. So for them then to ask her to do that after, as an afterthought almost, is a bit hard on the horse, and they have ultimate respect for that mare because she gives her best all the time.
So what now, Rich? They spell her back for the Queen Elizabeth in April, then another Cox Plate?
Look at you with your research.
Well, that is the plan, I believe, that they'll have a crack at the Queen Elizabeth at Royal Randwick during the championships in April. And then after that, they are planning on a third Cox Plate, and that would be sensational. But they haven't ruled out her racing overseas either, which would be fantastic to see Winx at her top take on some of the world's best and just to measure how good she is against them.
That is so hard, though. We've seen horses go over with all the wraps, and then it just doesn't happen. Could this one do it?
Well, our sprinters go overseas and do it very regularly because we have a huge depth of sprinters. But we don't have the depth in the middle distance ranks that she races in. And then you go overseas and you meet horses, you know, from a huge pool of middle distance horses. And they, you know, they've got some fantastic horses there. They rate her I think she's rated currently the third best horse in the world at her distance. But she may be re-rated after that Cox Plate. And there is a chance she could take over from an American horse called California Chrome, who's now the top rated horse in the world. She may take over as the top-rated horse in the world at her distance.
Well, she got rated, I think it was today, Rich, up to 133, which takes her to, I think, second to all time after Black Caviar. But talk about breeding, Rich. Like, so what does it mean, a stallion, a mare? I mean, when do the owners consider, like we've seen in the past, at their peak, you know, losing some of our great horses to the stud?
Well, the reason the top three stakes owners in Australia are all mares is because it's harder to make those huge dollars out of mares, even the top ones at stud. They can only have one foal a year.
Yep.
Whereas the stallions can serve 150 mares a year and get paid for every one of them.
Unbelievable.
So the stallions can make, you know, tens of millions of dollars, mares not so much. So they tend to race the mares on until they don't believe that they can make as much on the track as they can at stud. When that point comes, then they retire them to stud.
Gers, we're thinking the same thing. Hang on. 150 servings a year.
Yeah.
Well, they're only the ones that are successful.
Mm.
Yeah, well, the top stallion probably stands at around, I think, 50,000, something like that. Maybe more now, I can't remember. It might be up to 100,000 a year.
Wow.
Service, and they might serve 150 mares a year, so you do the math.
It's not bad business.
Well, it's unbelievable that Hartnell, blown out of the water, still a very game second, has now, the odds have actually shortened for the Melbourne Cup. It's unbelievable to think, Richard, a horse could be beaten, absolutely blown out of the water. Eight lengths... Cox Plate, I understand, that's the grand final. But now its odds in the Melbourne Cup have actually gone in.
Well, the one thing about Hartnell is, in England, before he came to Australia, which was a couple of years ago, he's won at 3,200 metres distance for the Melbourne Cup. So he's a proven performer at that distance. And I think the punters have just looked and thought, well, he's still in great form. He's still probably the second best horse of the spring. He's going to go to the Melbourne Cup, and he's a proven horse at the distance.
I imagine you were at Randwick doing the meeting for Sky. I imagine they would have gone berserk there as well.
I think they didn't go crazy. They just were standing there with their mouths open, just thinking, what are we seeing here? We're seeing a horse win a Cox Plate by 8 lengths and just smashing the rest of the best in this country. And it was just, you know, people were in awe.
All right, we're just about done, Rich, but we'll see you, I think, on Thursday here on the Rush Hour.
See you, Rich.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Beautiful. Here's Richard Friedman on Winx's unbelievable win. This is the Rush Hour on Triple M.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
Sports update. A couple of things we didn't get to. In the V8's Jamie Wynn Cup may have topped the points tally on the Gold Coast this weekend, but Shane Van Gisbergen is beautifully placed in the championship. His win on Saturday and second yesterday has him 148 points up on Wynn Cup, and there's only two weekends left, Pukka Cowie in Sydney.
Funny sport that one, Dan. I mean, a couple of weeks ago you saw Wynn Cup with a brave move that actually, you know, caused some drama in the race in Bathurst, obviously, and then he was penalised. And then what about the move by young Scotty on the weekend in the Gold Coast? Went on the inside of another driver, but pulled it off, hit the brakes, skid and held it,
it's
and
impossible.
Put himself into another, mate. It was amazing, but got away with it, and then now he's the hero.
Yeah, it's an impossible place to overtake. Hartnell, as we touched on earlier, is still the favourite for the Melbourne Cup, despite being blown out of the water by Winx.
Mm.
In fact, Hartnell has tightened to $4.60 with Sportsbet, and Winx has been rested from the McKinnon Stakes. Spring over for Winx. It was to run in a couple of weeks. McKinnon is now after the Cup these days, so that's the end of her for the year.
They've set they've already set a market for next year's Cox Plate, Dan. $4 you can bet now on Winx to win three Cox Plates in a row.
And that is, if she doesn't run, you lose your money.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
So $4, a lot of that is based on the possibility that she won't even be there. What about that? That is a sports update for Jets 24-Hour Fitness. We'll wrap it up. Saw Steve Smith on the news. We'll see if he had anything interesting to say as we wrap it up. The Rush Hour on a Monday night here for Sportsbet's racing form, Triple M.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
Rush Hour. No ugly Phil tonight. I don't know why, but he'll be back in the next couple of days. Producer Tom, I saw Steve Smith on the news. Anything interesting from what he had to say?
Not so much from what Steve had to say specifically, but they were reporting that New South Wales were meant to play Queensland this week in New South Wales in a red ball game. But Smudge, Steve, has put his foot down and said, I want to have have it at the Gabba as a day-night test, as a sort of warm-up for the match against Pakistan in December.
There we go. Hey, if you're the captain, should be able to make those. Smudge. We're on a nickname basis with the Australian captain.
Why do they call him Smudge?
Oh, I'm more interested in why Tom thinks he has earned the right to call him by that name.
Well, you've got Tubby, Punter, Pup, Smudge. I think, you know, it's a...
I've never
got
heard
a nice
Smudge
ring to it.
But we don't call them... We don't refer to them by their nickname. That's the Australian captain, my friend.
Oh, we do now. The smudge.
Good on him. If you wanted the game moved.
Yeah, why not?
Okay, that's it. We're done, Gerds.
Thanks, Dan.
We've got to the finish line.
This hey, good luck.
I know.
Good luck for the next couple of days.
Yes, I'm about to have my fourth installment for the day of this substance.
If you need any support, Dan, just give me a bell.
Thank you. We'll be back tomorrow.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.